Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Scott's emotions are tested as they drink a limited production wine in Bogle Vineyard's Petit Syrah Port. Yes, Bogle makes a port. Nevertheless, sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by a conflicted, emotional, bitchy Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Listen, folks, I'm here against my will. Come save me, please.
Conceal, don't feel, and reveal. On tonight's show,
what?
We have a wine. Just shut up.
Don't feel?
No, don't feel me anyway. A wine that's port. So Scott should love port, right?
I
should. Yeah. It's by a producer that...
Your voice should crack.
That well, it's a budget producer. And we've had wines that we've liked from them. Wines that we haven't liked. Recently, we had their Petit Syrah. Probably hasn't aired before this because that was a shitty episode. But
now we're going to drink the port that they make. Strangely enough,
this is the Petit Syrah port made presumably from that Petit Syrah, which we felt was too boozy at that time. So we said, fuck that. We're going to drink the boozy Petit Syrah from this. So this is Bogle Vineyards. And you're saying, what? It's Bogle Vineyards. It's you know Bogle Vineyard. It was the winery of the year. It says it right here from Wine Enthusiasts in 2019. There's a sticker on the label that says that. And what they do is they get a bunch of glass dildos, and then they fill them with port. If you've ever seen their port bottle, it's about 95 inches tall.
Holy shit, it's a tall bottle of wine.
Very narrow.
It looks like a bottle of ice wine.
It looks like a dildo. It does. And then they call it Petit Syrah port. I'm guessing this is just the Petit Syrah.
That's not Petit Syrah port.
It's Petit Syrah, but I think their Petit Syrah originally was port. The Bogle Petit Syrah port. Is it any good tonight? I don't know. It is 500 milliliters. They did do a wax cap to the top, which is fucking stupid.
Well, unless you want to watch your friend injure himself by trying to open it with
dull
bladed weaponry.
Yes, and I just used the cork pull and it just ripped it right through that wax. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
She used a Japanese Harry Carey sword from the...
You mean the samurai sword?
Second World War.
I have one of those in there. I can get
That's what you should have used.
I know. Hi-ya! Anyway.
Oh, Lord.
We're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. Off the air, I had to yell at Bo for being a dumb bastard, but still.
He's good boy.
He's looking at me like he's confused.
He didn't open Petit Syrah Bogle ports and jinx it. You did.
I know. So, a few informational things. First of all, this is 100% Petit Syrah. And they aged it in American oak for 22 months because that makes it tasty. Oh, God. Why do they do this? I mean, the bottle, folks, is so fucking tall. I don't understand, man.
There's so many different ways you can make a bottle. How do you get it to this? I mean, look, Scott, it's like this.
He's doing
that. It goes like this and then like this.
Salami shaft rubbing thing.
Don't be disgusting, Scott.
Well, I'm watching you do it.
There are no reviews for this wine because
I can't imagine why.
But they only made 57 barrels of it, so that's a good thing.
Well,
this is the first time we've been negative about port. It's also $18.99 of your money.
The winemaker describes it as
Bogle?
Such. Petit Sirah, when left on the vine an additional month, garners a rich sweetness for port. Aged in American oak barrels, 22 months. Stolen election! This ruby-style dessert wine is laden with succulent blackberries and dried cherries, while touches of mocha and fake news coffee envelop the finish. Sweet but not cloying, this confection is the perfect pair for dark chocolate, blue cheese, or fresh strawberries.
When you were yelling, like your Tourette's thing, was that you doing a Trump thing?
There you go, buddy.
It's very funny.
I'm very conflicted about drinking this.
They're,
I don't like that you drank the Bogle Petit Sirah on the 2016 election.
Where do they send the contract for you to perform at the Copacabana? That's what they want to know.
Her name was Lola.
That's right.
She was a showgirl.
I hope it ends the same way. So here we go.
Always, you know, that song always ends the same way.
Yes.
Copa, they fell in love. Copa.
Actually, this is that song is a
Copa Cabana.
That's a great song to play on the loop while you're smelling this wine. What is that? It's raisin, but my hat bill hit the mic.
No, that is not raisin. There's a medicinal, almost petroleum.
But no, there's a raisin there, Scott.
There's a raisin in your ass.
That's backside spice. There's one raisin. Just one. I smell one raisin. No. Yes, no. I do.
That's a clob of bloody phlegm that you popped up. You.
It was one of those sugary raisins that they put in the bran cereal, the breakfast cereal shit.
Oh, raisin bran? Oh, that you mean one. That? The sugary that one. Or you mean the off brand, like the Walmart brand?
I'm not
no,
going
there's
to
no raisin in there. That's like
it's a raisin.
It's like
and a lot of sugar.
Brake fluid.
That was my brake fluid. There's a little antifreeze, but it's not brake
fluid. Antifreeze. No, you know what it is?
Let's see if Bo will drink it.
Windshield wiper fluid.
Actually, you're right. It does smell like
windshield wiper fluid, dude.
So it smells a little soapy.
It's the worst nose on a port ever. Ever.
Evenus was pretty bad, too.
No.
Yes,
no.
It was.
No, that actually had a good nose.
It tastes like
it was
shit.
A bad port.
Yes. Maybe I'll black out before I drink this one. Here we go.
Wait, don't black out with him in the room.
Who?
I mean, I know you're not his type, but you know, he can't help himself. Motherfucker can't help him. He can't help himself. You know,
here I go.
This is defense.
I'm going to drink it.
In advance, I'm going to give Rob a pardon for this wine because, well, that's just there's just a lot of that going on. And while I'm at it, I'm going to give Bo a pardon for chewing up children's toys and he barked at me cruelly tonight when
I drank it
on the property.
You should drink it, Scott. I'm going to start off by saying this. First of all, perfectly fine. It's a tasty ruby port. The problem is it's $18.99. It's a 500 milliliter, and there's things called things from Portugal for $20 or $19.99 that are $7.50s that are better than this. This is good, but it's not special enough.
Well, there are a couple problems with this. It doesn't have the right texture. It's grainy. It's grainy. It's not the body isn't there that it should be. This is on the lean side. I haven't had as many ports as you have. This is on the lean side.
No, you're wrong.
Okay.
No, it's not as well. No, what it this is interesting about this wine. It has a front palate of classic ruby port flavors, you know, baked, rich blackberry pie and spice and heady cassis, really rich flavors. And then at the mid palate, it almost swivels, and the finish is still sweet and lengthy, but it lightens. Mm.
Yeah, I'll give you the lightens part. That's what I'm talking about, where it doesn't have a complete body of a port.
But no. But I think that's kind of interesting. It almost swivels, and then it lightens up in the finish. It's not a light, wimpy wine, but it has a lithiness to it. I like it. I like that. I like that a lot, actually. Okay. It's just different.
It is very
First of all,
different.
Scott, let's start off by acknowledging that the most recent iteration of Vogel's Petite Syrah is dog shit.
Okay.
And this is so far from dog shit. This is good.
No, I'll give you that.
This is very competent.
Well.
It is. It's very good. It tastes a little bit boutique-y. A little bit. Because, I just had the Juarez last week, which is a dynamite brick house for $20.
Hey, does it taste like port? Does it have a mouthfeel like port, and it doesn't like break apart on the finish?
Scott, it tastes a little bit like this all the way through. That's just a big full throttle. They don't ever let a foot off the gas to do anything else. And I love Juarez.
Okay, now it's time for Vladimir to speak. This is Rebecca's.
Well, Becky would be puking right now.
This is Rebecca's Russian contact. And this is not port. This is port-like.
No, though. This is completely port, Scott.
It's very port-like, but it's not port.
It's port. Scott, that's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
It's not important.
It's a very competent, good ruby port by California. Now, I will say, though, it's overtly dessert style. So some, like Juarez, it's a beast. It's just a unadulterated, unsophisticated beast. And I love that about it. This is something that I don't think I would pair with food, in the fact that it's a dessert in of itself. Because it's sweeter. That's the one thing. It's sweeter than those other ones. But it has different components. So it starts off with this blackberry pie. But then, towards the mid palate, it switches into very, very sweet prune. On that swivel, it swivels. It goes from this big, thick port into something that swivels into a little bit of lithier, sweet prune.
This is what I'm talking about, comrade. But yes, you know, when the winemaker says...
Scott, you can't start off by saying you're going to hate something and then just say you're going to hate something just because you have no integrity. It doesn't... It's a good wine.
You say Vladimir have no integrity?
It's the best thing that they've ever made. Give them credit. This is the best thing you've ever made.
I feel like the Zinfandel very much.
This is better than the Zinfandel. But you have to acknowledge that we've always overscored the Zinfandel. I'm not saying... This is not a 90. But I'm saying, this is the best, the most interesting thing Bogle has ever made.
What?
This bar is not that high, Scott.
What we train the Russian judge to recognize very much, varietal characteristic. And when we talk port,
this is 100% port, Scott. You would never think it's anything other than port. It's completely port.
This is true.
It hits every note that port is supposed to hit.
However, that lightness, that change of gear you discuss, we don't like it.
It is very good. It's better than the Terra de Oro. It is. It's better than Evinus, obviously. I have had Petroncelli's Zinport.
Vladimir says it's more interesting than Terra de Oro. No better quality.
It's better quality.
No better quality.
It is. Now, Terra de Oro, you get a $750 for about this price. So there's that. I mean, and that's a very good value. And that's a very lovely little Zin port.
The other thing Vladimir wants to say.
Why don't you just speak without the Russian bad accent?
When Bogle say sweet but not cloying.
It's not cloying.
You know the reason you say that? Because it's verging on cloying.
It isn't. It's completely poured all the way through. It's not Portuguese. It's California. It's a Californian version of... This is the dessert... When they say a dessert wine port, they mean that. Because it is. It is sweet in and of itself, and it's not something that... It's something that is a little bit sweeter than everything else, and it isn't a food pairer. Where I might say with Juarez, you know what? This would be great with some dark chocolate. This, like, I'll just drink this on its own. Mm. I'm going to drink a small glass and enjoy it.
Chocolate-covered strawberries, maybe.
Chocolate-covered cherry. I don't know about strawberries.
Chocolate-covered nuts.
Cashews?
Why not?
Those are delicious. I don't know about the nuttiness. See, because it has
This needs salty.
Salty would be good. Yeah.
This needs salty.
It's good Christmas wine. With a nut.
You know what this fucking needs?
Cashews would be good with this. I have some cashews upstairs.
Potato chips.
Oh, don't be stupid.
It's Bogle.
Don't be stupid.
I'm not being stupid. Lay's potato chips, man.
It's got a wax top, man.
That's almost killed yourself opening.
Yes, I know. It's unnecessary that it has that, but it's got it. You know?
The cat wine is staring at you, judging you.
Scott.
As we speak.
I know that you're trying to put on a face where you're just being obstinate. This is tasty. It's good. You can admit that it's good, Scott.
It's poured.
I will allow you to... Well, you just said it wasn't poured a second ago.
I'm saying it's not
displaying... You have no integrity.
Port characteristics.
It's the least port
I've ever had.
Oh, you're just stupid.
Evan has
tasted like fucking cocoa.
It was terrible.
Yes, and it didn't taste like port.
But it didn't disintegrate.
You've had Morgado. Remember Morgado? It tasted like a sewer rat took a dump in a glass and you drank it. That was terrible. I mean, I've had Newport. Newport's Ruby is bad. Remember when we had that? That was lousy. That was a lousy, lousy port. This is much better than that, which was shocking, seeing that's Portuguese. Newport, though, they always have a drier style port, and sometimes I just think they lose their way, because that one, we're like, oh, it was terrible. We were high, but that's not the point. No, we weren't. We were drunk, but that wine was terrible. Remember the Newport at your place playing marbles?
Yeah.
Very bad.
It was horrible.
It was awful.
But it was a ruby.
Yeah, but this is a ruby. You think they can make...
This is a ruby. This is a Petite Sirah.
Okay,
it's Scott. You can't even classify it as ruby versus tawny.
All California wines, except for expensive ones, like a true gentleman's port, that is done Portuguese style with the correct varietals. After that, your Zin ports, whether you make it with Cab Franc, Petite
Syrah, they're considered ruby.
There are still ruby ports. Most of the things we've had from California are Zin ports. Zin does very well, but Petite Syrah does very, very well for this. You know who should make a port?
Turley.
They should. Imagine how good that would be. But this is, I mean, for $18, think of it as a novelty, but you can still buy it. It's good. It is good. It does everything it's supposed to do.
It's Bogle.
But does it taste like Bogle? This is the best thing they have. It really is. You've had Phantom. That's not very great.
No.
I mean, the Essential Red, I believe in an early episode we gave it a 90. That's not a 90. The Old Vine Zin is...
No, the problem with the Essential Red was the bottle variation.
Yeah, that's
not some of them were really, really good when we had a couple skunks.
Well, and the Old Vine Zin.
Central Red was really good that one year.
The Old Vine Zin, though, Scott, we buy it when it's $7 or $8. We don't buy it at 11. When we buy it really cheap, we buy it and we drink it. And it's a summer. It's a deck wine.
It's fine.
We drink it as a deck wine. We don't drink it as a wine. You know what? I'm sitting down.
Our house, we don't buy it. If she wants an Old Vine, that price point. Klein Old Vine or something like that.
Oh, certainly. That's a better wine.
It's just better.
If you see it at 8 or 7, you buy it. Because you buy 5 or 6 of them because it's a good knock around wine.
And there's nothing wrong with paying. I think our regular price is up to $11.99 now. Yeah. But once upon a time it was $10.99.
Yeah, I've never bought it at full price. I'll buy it at a discount, but not at full price. And I like it at a discount. But this wine is the most interesting. Now, once again, for Bogle, Scott, I'm not, this is not, I mean, It you know, you want to say, well, first of all, Petroncelli's Zin Port is excellent. Have you seen that recently for sale anywhere? No. You have to buy it at the winery. I bought it at the winery. So there's that. Terre d'Oro is very good. It's probably as good. I mean, it might be better than this. I don't know. It's a very good wine, though.
It's better than this.
It probably is better than this. But this is good. This is competent. Very good. And this, you can say it's very good. And you don't have to put it in the Hall of Fame or anything like shit like that. But you can say it's very good. Would I buy it very often? No, because it's a 500 milliliter and I'd buy 750 because I'm a drunk. But, hey, that's pretty good. Good job, guys. It's strange that they do this.
Well, for sure. And I give them credit for doing it.
They should do more of this stuff.
Well, it's just weird.
What?
It's just weird the way there's just a separation in the wine where it becomes this.
I don't think so.
The finish is almost, it almost turns to not be a port. It almost has like this regular Petite Sirah finish, which maybe that should elevate it, but it's just weird and I'm rebelling against it. It just doesn't hit me right.
I don't now, find anything odd about this wine.
Preference, perhaps, but
the only thing that holds, I don't find anything unusual about this wine at all. It's first of all, it's California. It's a big, big, big producer doing something small.
Yeah, this which is unusual. This is the opposite of what they do. And how many cases was it, or how many barrels was it?
157
barrels. Barrels.
57 barrels produced. It says it right there in gold inlay writing.
Yeah, well, and that sticker on it that says Wine of the Year.
Well, Winery of the Year, but that was for their Petite Sirah. I'm sure regular. Wine enthusiast loves Bogle, but it's the one thing that they've it's from Clarksburg, for Christ's sake. It's from the Delta. So this is all Delta stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it does pretty good. I mean,
yeah, they tried to make it a good stock.
Well, it's
Clarksburg.
It's pretty good. And you say to yourself,
I'll give you that. I'll give you this.
It takes skill to do pretty good. And you're doing a bajillion cases of everything else. And then they roll out this. You're like, wow, you took some time to do that. A passion project. What could you do with other passions? There's competency. And also,
yeah, I agree with that.
Port is a different discipline. You're adding spirits. I mean, it's a completely different. I bake cakes. And now I'm going to bake a pie.
Here's why I would try this again. Because you had the Petite Sirah same year, and it was shit.
Oh, this is not vintage, but yeah.
So, and Rob and I differ on Petite Sirah. I have more.
You
of
like
it,
Petite Sirah more. Than
I have more of it in my collection than he does. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Bogle was crap. So maybe if they do a better job with the Petite Sirah, then I'd come back to this. But it's just,
I don't like cheap Petite Sirah and even expensive and even Turley Petite Sirahs. They don't.
Easy.
No, Scott. I understand. Easy. Everybody else except for me says that they're fantastic.
Well,
and that doesn't. That yeah. Okay.
Most people don't
unlike
know
Scott,
about Turley Petite Sirah.
Unlike Scott, I'm willing to say that's me. It's not everybody else.
No, I'm saying that about this. It's me.
Well, I don't know. It's but no, I recognize that that Petite Sirah is great. I just don't get it.
Vladimir.
I don't know why it is. I don't know why I don't like expensive Petite Sirahs. I don't know why. They just seem hollow to me. I don't know. I don't know what I'm missing.
By the way, that Sauvignon Blanc, $28.
It's a good value.
It was freaking fantastic.
Talking about the
Turley Sauvignon Blanc. You know, we love Turley. And I go across the board with him a little more than Rob does. He tends to centralize what he gets.
Yeah.
And I don't recall, but I think it was the first offering of the Sauvignon Blanc. It might have been the second.
Well, this is the thing I look at is
it's
$28, and if it's as good as or as good as Mary Edwards, which is 42 or 43, which is if you've not had Mary Edwards Sauvignon Blanc, have you?
Mm-mm.
other level. I mean, it's ethereal how good it is, but still, if it's that good at 28, it's a value. That's a value.
It I don't want to say blew our minds, but we.
I mean,
in our house, we don't drink a lot of white wine, and I just pulled it out to pull it out. I'm not really sure why. I'd intended.
You're not gonna age it.
I intended on Thanksgiving to get turnt, and I didn't.
Well, most people do.
But I was going to do the Sauvignon Blanc and a bottle of White Coat, and I put the Sauvignon Blanc in, didn't drink it, and then we had it that Friday night. And told her, hey, we're going to have some white wine tonight. She's like, whatever. But then when we were drinking it, she's like, this is really, really good. I mean, it like jumped out of a ballpark. Usually when she has wine, it's like, yeah, do you like it? Do you not? I didn't have to ask. She's like, this is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And then the more we drank it, the more we loved it. So, Turley, your Sauvignon Blanc, kudos.
Well, of course. I mean, they don't need to. I mean, you know, they have enough. You know, people love their stuff. So
we love their stuff.
But Bogle deserves a little more sun. You want to pour a little more?
Not really.
Pour a little more.
Oh, my God.
I like it.
You're so impressed.
But I like port.
I love
port. You don't pour. Yeah, but then you should like this. Like it. I mean, Scott, there's a difference between like and, oh, my God, I just creamed my pants. I mean, it's not that. It's still port, and it tastes like port. It's a more dessert wine style of port. And what I'll say with dessert wine style, okay, I've said that a couple times. What I mean when I say that is, it is a dessert in of itself, where it's a little sweeter, a little softer than, say, a Portuguese style or a non-dessert style, where a wine might be, or a port might be good with a tort of some kind, or chocolate, or some sort of pairing that would really make it sing. This wine doesn't do that. It's more of its...
It needs salt.
Well, salt could be. But it's one of those wines where you would have, after dinner, it'd be okay. You bought it cheaply. You got a cheap glass, a $6 glass at a steakhouse as your dessert. It would work fine for that. Recently, I did that with Rodney Strong's A True Gentleman's Port, and then it turned into something else.
Fuck, it turned into something else.
With a bunch of bottles. And Scott, that's pretty good, isn't it?
I'm holding on those two bottles. Oh,
yes, you better, because those are vintage ports. That's not fair to compare this to that, because...
But that's what we do.
Although, I mean, wow.
But see, another way of saying the same thing you just said is what I've been saying, that it's just different. It's just not... Triple B always talks about how true is it to the varietal character. And here we're not talking about varietal character. We're talking about how true is it to port. And you've referenced that, you know, it's not true Portuguese style. And that's all that I'm saying. It's just, and it's so far away from the Portuguese style.
It's not so far away.
It bugs me. It just bothers me.
It's not so far away.
No, it's
not.
I've learned.
But you haven't had all the Portuguese.
I haven't had all the Portuguese. I don't have as much port experience. So maybe you're a little more tolerant than I am. But now I'm intolerant.
No, not to be.
And this is.
Scott.
It just bugs me, man.
Scott, I'm not trying to. I'm asking for informational purposes.
Okay, go ahead.
Which ruby, you're not good at this, though.
Coburn. I would take Coburn over this every day of the week.
That's not what I was going to ask.
Okay.
Everybody would. But still, what ruby ports have you had? Please list them. Your memory's bad about this. But
I'm terrible about the difference between ruby and tawny. I just don't pay attention.
Well, they taste different.
I know they do, but...
Well, they're supposed to taste different.
And they should.
Morgado.
They don't always.
Well, they should, but yeah.
I've had much more tawnies than rubies. That's a fact.
Yes.
I've had both the Coburns. I've had Graham rubies.
Are those six grapes? We haven't had them on the show. We need to have them on the show.
Well, it's classic.
The decanter has been very excited about that. I haven't had them for a little bit. I enjoy it. It's a good wine.
Frank has the Graham 10-year.
Over that.
Got some Italian grappas that are fucking believable.
I know, I've had grappa with Frank before.
Well, you know, it is what it is, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and Coburn's entry level at best.
I mean Cockburn's
budget. Coburn.
I know.
We drink Tawny's is what we drink.
Well, I love Tawny's. I mean, but Tawny, I want to see it to be Tawny. I want to see it to be brownish. I don't want to see this red-looking Tawny. Although, recently I had the Presidential Tawny. Folks, Presidential, it's Portuguese. It's cheap. It's like 12, 13 bucks a bottle. They're ruby and they're Tawny.
Didn't we have Presidential at the top?
No.
What did we have at the top that night?
Not that. Presidential isn't out there. It's a very inexpensive Portuguese port. It's cultish. So if you see it on wine.com, you might see one bottle one bottle limit. I was down in Myrtle and I raided this shelf. I bought everything they had. Shakespeare and Phil, regrettably.
You've told the stories a million times.
I know. But I recently had one of the Tawnies. I bought a couple of those too. And their Tawnies are just excellent. But their rubies are great too. The rubies tend to take a little time to kind of open up and really take hold. I've had a lot of rubies, and it just depends on what you want. When I say dessert style, I mean something that is a little softer, a little bit riper, a little more fruity. Moray's, which I recently drank by myself because Scott doesn't love me anymore.
Sweeter.
Is a potent potable. And what happened is I thought I had contracted COVID. Not a joke. And so I needed something to alleviate my worries. And Warriors did that. So if you think you've contracted COVID, but end up haven't, an excellent wine to drink is a 3/4 of a bottle of Warriors, because then you'll forget you can't spell COVID at that point.
Well, Warriors Warrior will cure all your ails.
Everything.
I think it's a cure for cancer.
It could be. If you have cancer, you just drink a bottle of Warriors. No. At least for a day and a half, your worries will not be on the cancer. First of all, for the first 4 hours, you won't have any worries at all. Then after that, it sure as fuck isn't going to be cancer. It's going to be this ice pick in your brain that is a hangover that won't leave. That'll do that. Warriors, I love Warriors. Forget this. Yeah, and that's the thing. At the end of the day,
it's worth
this wine.
A little bit of extra money.
This wine isn't worth buying because you buy Warriors at $1 more and you get a lot more of it. The value isn't there.
It's a little more than $1 more.
It's $19.99.
Mm-hmm.
Is it $20.99?
$24.99, I think now.
Well, then you bought it from a dude in a trench coat. Someplace else, because I can buy it at $19.99.
But the Presidential Tawny is $12.
I know. I just bought it.
It's just,
why are you telling me these things?
We had that out somewhere. We were out somewhere. We
never had Presidential. It's rare. You don't buy it.
Mm.
It's be at a random liquor store in Myrtle that you've tried to call me out on with the Triple B because I left my child in the car by himself. And then because I bought Presidential, because I didn't drink it with you, because I drank it by myself, because you're a bitter dick, you know. Next time I open a bottle, I won't be thinking about Scott because he's already tried to throw me under the bus.
This is the difference between the wine guy and me.
You're a dick.
When I was in the liquor store, I took the kids with me. Now they're aficionados.
Which kids?
My child, all of them.
They don't. Paige drinks skinny margarita shit.
I didn't take her in the liquor store with me.
Well, who the hell did you take in the store with
you? All the other ones.
What do they know about wine?
They know about booze.
They mean they're drunks. You have alcoholic children.
Well,
I don't think Christopher's an alcoholic.
No.
No. They all drink far less than you. So they realize
not true.
Not all of them. When you took them in the liquor store, Dad's a loser. And so then they didn't do that.
No, they love me.
Well, they love you, but they realize that you're a drunk.
No, not back then.
I know it now. Looking back. So, folks, we're going to take a break because Scott has to.
Now I drink the port. You're the one that turned me into a drunk. You and my friend Lamont taught me about bourbon.
Well, first of all, Lamont never has taught anybody anything because he's drunk all the time.
No. Actually, no. Actually, we're probably more drunk than he is.
No, come on.
No.
Lamont starts off with an alcohol level that exceeds the legal limit.
He has grandchildren like 9 days out of 7 days of the week. He's very responsible. He takes them places.
I'm sorry.
He doesn't take them to McDonald's like you.
I'm sorry. I find that terrifying. So
they're good kids. I've met them.
They're still alive? All of
Not
them?
Just alive.
Have you counted them?
There's two.
Oh, you two. Just two. Do you count them every time? Two.
Yeah, you don't have to count.
You meet him again, you go, 1, 2. You just make sure he hasn't lost one of them.
Listen, you know the group of friends we have.
Yes.
His grandchildren.
They're depressing.
Terrified of us, justifiably so. Who? They're smart kids.
Terrified of who?
You've met our friends.
Who's our? But you have to like. Superstar.
A superstar's not around them.
Who's our friends?
Uncle E.
Okay.
Hot Carl.
They're terrified of them.
They're terrified of everybody because of them.
I would be. Yeah.
They were scared of me. One of them was scared of me.
Because they thought you were around them.
Well.
When a guy's name is Hot Carl, you have to worry about him.
Well.
I worry about it too. So, folks, I mean, I didn't realize what group you were talking about. Then you zeroed me on the group, and I went, yeah. Children are smart.
No, John's a great grandpa. He really is.
You keep saying it'll make it true.
No, it is.
I know. I saw him pass out in a flower bed one time. Here.
I saw you pass out. I saw you wear a Penn State jersey and pass.
I didn't pass out.
Oh, my God, you passed out.
No, I didn't.
Oh, Lord.
Not that night. You've seen me pass out, but it wasn't then.
I've seen you pass out more than
that. I swelled up because of salt intake. I know more than that.
I was the one who swelled up the next morning.
I was driving 92 miles an hour in that damn... But we'll talk about that when we come back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So I alluded to how fast I was driving. You know this story. We rented a motorhome many years,
RV.
A couple years ago.
No, 2 years ago.
To go to a Penn State football game where
Ohio State
vanquished Penn State in the last seconds and made
people
cry.
Except Rob was rooting for Penn State because he bought a Penn State jersey that day.
You were, shut up. Anyway.
No, you were cold. That was.
I wore a white shirt.
It was blue.
Underneath. No, the shirt was white.
It was blue.
It's in state in blue on a white shirt, you fucking moron. Lord. There's pictures of it everywhere. You're a dumb fuck. You wore black. And then you were going to wear a blue jacket's pullover that you left in somebody's truck, the bed of their truck.
It's my cousin's truck.
And then they piled stuff on top of it and you lost your pullover.
No, he still has it. He's holding it for me.
You're very cool. He still has it?
Mm-hmm.
How many years ago was that?
Two. Dickhead, it was just 2 years ago.
He hasn't mailed it to you yet. He doesn't have that. He threw it away.
No, we talked about it regularly.
I bet.
I told him to hold it.
Yes, I'm going to tell him to burn it.
No, he's got Turley. I'm going to come out to his house when we're going to do Turley.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
You're not going to fit it by the time he gets it.
Well, it's pre-Fat Scott, so it fits me now.
Scott? Yeah, that's true. It is pre-Fat Scott because I saw pictures of you.
Yeah.
We were all fat, though.
Yeah, not like I was. You were close, but not as fat as I was.
260.
Yeah, but you're 6'1 or 6'2, whatever you are.
That's true. 6.
And I'm 5'10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I actually put on a pair of pants of pre-me. Because I haven't been doing well recently. I mean, I've been doing whatever the fuck I want. But I don't weigh like I used to weigh. Because I put on these pants and they fell down around my ankles.
Yeah, well,
I went, how the fucking fat was I?
I remember when you saw the light and you said, I'm going to do the keto. And you were starting to lose weight. And you said, I don't worry about getting to 30. I'll never get to 36. And I'm like, dude.
Oh, no, I wear 36s now.
Going to get to 36.
Well, it was pictures of me at Walt Disney World. Like a couple weeks after or a week after that. And I'm like, I'm a fat. I just didn't look healthy.
Dude, there's a shit ton of pictures. I just sent pictures from 2015 of me floating in a lazy river.
You just, you're like, I don't, that just looked like shit. And it's like,
well,
and
I look good. I was just fat.
Well, it's like, well, it's not about that. It's just, I didn't look good, healthy. That's why I was like, I'm like, no. And that's kind of the thing. You get to that point where you're like, no, I don't want to look, I want to be healthier. And so I did that and I kickstarted it. And then, but now I, you know, it's like, I don't eat a McDonald's Big Mac.
Well, but the issue I would probably really isn't how we look. It's how we feel.
Better.
And what our health status is. You know, we made significant changes and we put in a lot of work. And you, just like me, we probably should do more to be more physically fit.
Oh, sure.
We've lost our weight, but we need to do more to be physically fit. Whether it's walking, jogging, working out, whatever it is, we probably both need to put in the work on that.
Bro, do you even bench? That's what.
Bro, do you even bench?
That's why I said, Henry. We do that, bro. Bro, do you even? But what was it? You know, strangest enough, say I eat a piece of cake. I better only eat a piece of cake.
My body rejects it too.
I get sick.
Yeah.
Like, no. A couple of times, like when we've had we've done the wine vault, then on Monday, I think I have a stomach flu. I'm vomiting and whatnot. It's because I had too much sugar. Sugar, I'm actually allergic to a certain, it makes me nauseous and sick and I can't function.
I don't get that from drinking the wine overindulging.
It's more like cake. Food. Yeah,
food I eat afterwards. You know, you have a couple drinks and then you make bad decisions on food. But for me lately, when I cheat a little bit, it's miserable for me the next day. Whether it's bread or pasta or whatever, and it's rare. But we're in the COVID, and I'm supporting the restaurants I went to, so I make some bad decisions. You know, we take Frank's meatballs. And make meatball subs out of them. It's just that meatball appetizer, which is $5. And you get a whole loaf of fresh fucking Italian bread.
Yeah, yeah.
I add my mozzarella, but I'm sick the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I'm not physically ill where I can't move, but it's like, oh God, my stomach, you know, a little Pepto-Bismol, I'm good.
Yeah.
But I know it, you know, so at some point I'm going to have to stop doing that. But it's so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's so, his meatballs are so fucking
good. Oh, they are good. They are good.
You know who doesn't like them? My daughter. It's a texture thing for her. But when she said, I know. But when she said that, it was like she was in the keto where she couldn't taste really well. So
she's making keto bombs.
COVID, excuse me, when she had the COVID.
Well, yeah, normally when you have COVID and you taste something, it doesn't taste right.
But for her, it's a texture thing. She wants the meatballs to be more firm. I think meatballs are meant to be soft.
We want,
Like Marcello's or
Marcello's.
Martini.
They taste the same exactly the way as...
It's Frank. I think Frank's are a little more... There's a little more fat content.
I mean, Marcello's puts lamb in it. I don't think Frank's does.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, does it?
It's either lamb or veal. I think it's veal.
But Marcello's is... the density of that is the same. That's
ridiculous how big those are.
Yeah, but they're the same. Yeah.
Yeah, they're soft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not like falling apart, but yeah, I mean,
it's a different texture.
Yeah, I've never really had hard meatballs. I mean, unless you make them yourself, then they're overcooked.
People make meatballs out of ground beef, and they tend to be harder and not as soft as a proper meatball. That's some type of pork, veal, lamb, beef.
Yeah, if you make a small meatball, you better be sure how long you're cooking them because you're going to make them unpleasant.
They're going to be hard.
Yeah. If you like that, hey. That's what Kraft mac and cheese is for.
With meatballs. What, you're going to take bad meatballs and put them in
William
your
William hates meatballs. The funny thing, my middle child, he's so like, he hates. One time I put, I made, he likes scrambled eggs. So I put cheese and ham in it.
Okay.
And he said he got so mad because I put pork chop in it.
Why did you put pork chop in there?
I know. It's like, it's not pork chop, it's ham. It's pork chop. You. It's like I betrayed him.
You will?
So now anymore, he goes, I want scrambled eggs, no cheese, no pork chop. I don't put fucking pork chop. Do you even know what a pork chop is?
Yeah. You're trying to make a special little thing, and then it pisses him off, and then you get pissed off. It's like,
yeah. I did do. You know what? This I want to talk about this.
A scrambled egg. There's a trick to scrambled eggs.
I know.
You got to have the right pan.
Yeah.
My recipe for scrambled eggs is, and it's keto, but they're the best, fluffiest eggs ever. 4 yolks, 2 whites.
You can do it that way.
So you cut out 2 whites, but it's so easy. And then you can fold anything into it you want. I fold the cheese in too, and I'll fold the meat in, pre-cooked meat. And William would yell at me too, because I'm always doing that. You know what I like to fold into scrambled eggs?
Chewed on steak?
Goat cheese.
Well, yeah, he likes that, though. Becky makes that, fill that. I did some poached eggs today, but that brings me to.
Do you have a egg poacher for the microwave, or do you just do them on the stove?
Stove, you put a little vinegar in there, and you make the little vortex.
So you're just doing it actually in a pan.
It's not difficult.
Well, there's all these little tricks and all these little cheats for poached eggs, silicone holders.
Yeah, I know. You don't. You just spin the water. And
the vinegar to separate.
Yeah, it's not hard. But anyway,
how'd they turn out?
The yolks were great. I put too much vinegar in it, but that's, I don't know. I mean, I had Becky.
Flavors the eggs, in my opinion. But
yeah, but anyway.
A poached egg should have that little bit of acidic in the background.
Yeah, it's very easy to do. Just spin the water once it boils, and voila. You know, about 2.5 minutes later, it's done. The show, Amazon Prime, and I'm partial to this gentleman, but Becky loved it too. James May. Of Top Gear fame.
Yeah, okay.
He has done a cooking show.
What?
It's great. No. It's the old-fashioned...
Put your Penn State shirt on, okay?
As Becky would say, it's a delight. Oh, Cook.
What?
Oh, Cook is the show.
It's a delight.
She loves it.
As much as she liked the NPR rock...
It's one of those things... The cooking, his knife skills are atrocious, but that's not really the point. It's
okay. So somebody else is making the food then.
Exactly. He has a lady in the cupboard that he calls the expert. That is like the person that does all the really important work on all the celebrity chef shows.
Anything.
Yes, and he calls her. Oh, I forget what her name is. And so she comes to the cupboard to help him. He, no shame. But he drinks.
No, there's a lot of shame.
But he drinks the whole time.
Oh, this is why you like the show.
Well.
Is he a good looking man?
No.
Then why does Becky like it?
It's just lovely. She likes James May, though. I mean, she just likes, well, she enjoys Top Gear and that kind of stuff. She enjoys.
No, she doesn't.
Scott, she does. Anyway,
Vladimir has to talk to
you. You need to watch it and you'd enjoy it.
No, I'm not going to watch Top Gear cooking.
Well, then you need to get over yourself and watch it.
Oh, okay.
But it has it's just such a lovely charm to it. Matter of fact, so different 7 episodes in the first season, and you can tell it because he wore the same shirt.
Oh, Jesus.
It's the same. It's like 2 day, like a day and a half. They did all of them. And so it was funny.
That's lovely charm.
Well.
No, that's disgusting is what that is.
He doesn't care. That's the point.
That's not the point. You know, what is a Scott, lovely charm is Schitt's Creek.
Scott, be
Schitt's
quiet.
Creek has lovely charm.
Be quiet. Listen, let me talk and then you can do whatever you talk about, whatever you want. Anyway, they had an episode where he was doing, what was he making? I don't know. Whatever he was making was with a vanilla bean. Okay, so he cut the vanilla bean open and he put the stuff in it. So in a later episode, like different episodes, the lady came out of the cupboard. She's like, the black bits, what are the, he goes, she goes, that's from the vanilla bean from several episodes prior. But
that's charming.
It was funny.
Well, it's disgusting.
Not. It's but it's still amusing. It's funny. It's fun. Anyway, they did a Brazen Old Vine Zen. They were drinking that. It wasn't the Brazen, but it wasn't the same label we have. But
they've gone through some label iterations.
Bloody Marys.
He's drinking while he does this.
Yeah. Sancerre.
No wonder why he leaves Madagascar vanilla beans on his cutting board.
Oh, I'm sure.
So he's not using cutting board. I'm sure they're using...
Scott, you haven't seen it, have you?
It sounds like something I want to watch.
Well, maybe you should watch it and see, and then make the decision, just like this port, whether you like it or not. That's a very good, valid point, folks. Never judge something before you've actually consumed it, because then you don't know if it's good or not.
We do it all the time, folks.
No, you don't.
Never judge a book by its cover, but we do.
It's a lovely departure from cooking shows. We watched all 7. We binged it. It's lovely. It's just lovely.
What food did he make?
Different things. I mean, the last episode was all roast. It was like the traditional British roast. So, Yorkshire puddings, chicken roast, cauliflower cheesy.
Where he riced it?
No, it was whole cauliflower. Then they like cheese and what? I don't know. It's British. I don't know. Roast vegetables, all sorts.
I love roast veg. I like taking different combinations of oils and vinegars and different spices and just roasting veg, whether it's cauliflower, broccoli, or like a beetroot. And you just...
He did an episode where it was all breakfast stuff, unique stuff, though, like... what is it? Chanchese? Like the egg in the tomato, like I do?
Roasted or baked.
Well, it was actually in a pan, but it's a Middle Eastern thing. I didn't know that, but he did that.
So Rob's done that for years.
Yeah,
tomato cheese.
He makes little pockets
egg thing.
Yeah,
but you do it in like little casserole pans, like individual, like a little baking dish servings.
But he did it in the pan, and then he cooked down like the tomato, whatever it is, and then he made little pockets for the eggs, and he cooked the eggs in it, and they loved it. It was lovely.
I think an underrated thing with eggs is jalapenos. I love jalapenos with eggs.
But different things. Another episode, he did all baking. I was too drunk to remember.
The Madagascar vanilla bean episode?
Might have been, but I was too drunk for that one.
This is a nighttime thing you did?
Actually, yes, we watched it during the day, or during the evening. Yes, I was too drunk for that. But I might have been fighting Bo, too. Bo and I were fighting.
So maybe you really didn't enjoy the TV show, you just enjoy your dog.
No, I enjoyed many episodes of it. It's just lovely. What was the first one? He did like a Asian fusion kind of thing. Very good. Did pad thai.
Did you get sick watching it?
No. Okay. Becky didn't either. Interestingly enough.
No, actually, she did.
He discussed
just took
about
a couple days.
The origination of pad thai, where, actually, noodles in Japan, okay? Where did ramen noodles? That came about the fact of, after World War II, the United States imported a bunch of wheat. And the Japanese said, well, you know, we can...
What the fuck are we going to do with this wheat?
You know what? Yield-wise, we can double it. No, that's not right. It's something else. Anyway, they found out they could double whatever it is with noodle production with wheat. That was actually Thailand for pad thai. They realized they had a low crop for rice production, but they realized 2-for-1 they could do noodles over just regular rice. So they could take their rice and double the volume with rice noodles. So from a government standpoint, they encouraged the dish of pad thai, which made Becky sick tonight.
Manipulation by the American production of wheat.
No. This is Thailand. That had nothing to do with... This was separate. Japan had something to do with America. That had nothing to do with... That was ramen noodles. The Japanese made ramen noodles because of the Americans bringing wheat.
So we didn't manipulate the Thais.
No. because Thailand wasn't involved in World War II. This is a separate thing.
Okay.
Two bits of knowledge.
This beautiful thing.
Where Pad Thai came from. It was a manipulation of the Thailand populace, the government saying, hey, make noodles from your rice flour and you'll double the yield. And ergo, we have this national dish called Pad Thai. It's delicious. Becky got sick from it tonight. From Thai Paradise.
Rock out the vote, baby. Rock out the vote.
That's what it is. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back before I pass out here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So the Bogle Petit Syrah Port, only 57 casks or, you know, barrels made. The word had escaped me briefly. 20% alcohol, which would explain why that word escaped me.
Turnt.
Yes. But.
Did it hit the 2-0? Oh, it hit the 2 number as the ABV?
20.
Yeah, that's nice. Steve would approve.
Steve would approve. And Port would approve.
Port, you know, but generally, if you don't hit that 19 number, you're...
That's a little low.
Disappointed.
Yeah, well, that's a little low for Port, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, generally, would you say almost always they're 19.5?
Should be. 19 or above, yeah. I've not seen a lot of this.
But it's like, I don't... Do you recall another that was 20%?
Yeah, Juarez.
Juarez was like... One of the words was 21 something. No.
I think it stops. I think it stops at 20.
Yeah, I think they just that's a number they put on there.
But I think they're required to stop at 20. But that's okay.
This gets you where you want to go. That's for sure.
It's only 500 milliliters, so does it?
Oh, you want more? There's another bottle of port. Apparently there were.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying this bottle of port is only 500 milliliters, so. Would you want 750 milliliters of this? They understand what I said. At $18.99, yes. At $24.99, no. Because there's things that are cheaper than that. That's the killer of so many wines that exist beyond this wine. The fact that, you know what, this wine is good. However, the price and what it is kicks it in the balls. And this wine does get kicked in the balls in the fact that it's a 500 milliliter for $18.99, which is not, for value-wise.
It's a small production wine. This is what you're going to pick it apart over. It's a gorgeous bottle with the wax cap that, yes, you almost...
Oh, now you're saying good things about it.
You almost cut off a finger trying to open it.
True. It was
more than once.
It was perplexing, although then I realized it was just bullshit and I just put the puller through the top and it just came right out.
Yeah, you just put it in a regular wine bottle opener and didn't fuck with it.
Well, I have a big stand one, but yes.
It's not as big as you think it is.
It's industrial. Go ahead.
Oh my God. It's so... Of all the things to pick this apart over, the price isn't the point. It's my point. Low production California port style wine. For me,
it's port style.
For me, I enjoyed it. The reason I don't score it higher is just because of that point where it separates, it gets a little grainy, and it becomes a little lighter finish. And for me, I'm not used to a port doing that. Maybe that's what elevates it, but I don't think so. I like it. It's just not my favorite port. We've had a lot worse, though. And they got it right. Bogle, again, got it right. I don't want to say they nailed it, because, you know,
because like they didn't know what it was to begin with.
It just veered away a little bit from being port, and it didn't do it in a way that I love.
What's your score?
88, 87, 88. That
88
two range
of your points,
but 88. But we're port lovers. But I just it would score a lot higher because it's really interesting that it's a California Petite Sirah port. But where it thins out on the finish is why it's not a 90 something for me. Oh, Vladimir in the house, baby.
Okay, now it's on to me. I thought I liked this more than Scott, but apparently I didn't. I'm giving this wine 87 of my points. I enjoy it. It's one of those things, though, where it has all the quantities that you want. However, wines that are better are, first of all, Portuguese, but are slightly highly reviewed by us. I think the Terra de Oro probably was 88, 89. A lot of the rubies that Scott mentioned were 88, 89. Those were very, very good wines. This wine is good. It's just a tick below that, and the fact that it is, as Scott said, port style. It is more port style than port, in the fact that it is more of a dessert style wine. Port in of itself, in my opinion, should be port. Yeah. It is by itself, resolute. It is what it is. This is a version of that, which is understandable considering that it's California. And if it's not made with, what is it, Torriga Nacional and a few other things,
yeah,
that's Portuguese port. This is a port-inspired wine.
And they did a Petite Sirah.
They did a very, very competent, good job with it.
You know,
and to say you did a good job with it and give it an 88, 87 is a fine score for Bogle. It really is. And quite frankly, I think it does deserve a lot of credit. And, you know, they are a mass production winery. And the fact is they took the time to slow down and make a wine that resembles port to a very, very, very strong degree.
Yeah.
It's not port because it's not from Portuguese. It's not made with the right varietals, but it sure as hell tastes a lot like it.
But question for thought, how good of friends are Torriga Nacional and Petite Sirah?
I don't think they've met each other.
I don't think so either.
I think that they've seen each other on Tinder and swipe past. They're not.
We've done a Torriga as a wine, not as a port.
Yes, we have.
But not many of them.
I've done one last week, and I loved it.
They're good.
It's a little more complex.
They're
dynamic.
But, you know, would you say they're more similar or dissimilar to a Petite Sirah? I would say they're more
aromatic. The thing about
Bogle
though,
body wise and
well, what the hell? Bogle can't do that. They can't say, oh, you know, we're gonna pull like 25 acres of this of the cabbage patch we have, and do that. They're not gonna do that. They have
Where was this made? Clarksville.
The Delta. Yes, they're going
that's
to pull
not the Delta sign.
That's the Delta.
Oh, dude.
Look up Clarksville. You'll find it's in the Delta.
It's Cabbage Delta.
It's Cabbage Delta. They're going to pull from what they have a glut of. They're going to pull of the Petite Sirah. I wonder if they did a Zinport, how it would be. They should try that. They really should. I honestly think they should do a line of this stuff because they obviously have the capability of doing it. They make it's a good port. I like it. I like it less than you do, apparently, even though you were negative the whole fucking episode. But I kind of set you up. But that's okay.
That's okay.
It's chess and checkers.
Well,
but
no,
still.
It's called integrity.
That's called intelligence. But still.
Well, whatever. I'm the one. So you're using my critique to make your score.
I wrote down 87 before you said your score.
Oh, whatever, dude.
It's a fact. But the fact that they did that and they make other things that aren't very good is
they
impressive.
They deserve a lot of credit.
No, this is a... You know what, Scott? This is going to not be thrown away. I'm going to put it in a place of prominence because this bottle deserves acknowledgement.
Well, it's an interesting bottle, if nothing else.
It's tall and thin. It looks good.
It's beautiful.
But
it's got the Maker's Mark wax on the top of it.
And you know what, Bogle? You get a tip of the cap.
Big time. We've not the first time we've given them that.
No. But
they may have gotten the first tip of the cap.
You know what, Scott?
For the red blend.
I'm gonna create.
Do it.
I'm gonna create a new.
No, just put it in the Value Price Hall of Fame.
You tried Value Price Hall of Fame. They're going to go in the Value Price Hall of Fame, assuming they could fit in the shelf because it's tall. But it's one of those where the Triple B won't believe us anyway. But at least you tried Value Priced Hall of Fame.
No, just at least you tried.
Hall of Fame.
No, just at least you tried.
That goes, I just hit that on the floor next to the shelf.
It's like, my cousin.
I don't know how great of a value it is. I mean, it's, you know.
My cousin's boyfriend in high school. Well, at least you tried.
What did he try it?
Well, not much. But, okay. You know, we're going to give him that category anyway. Because, you know, we just want to build up his self-esteem.
It's a hearty thumbs up for you.
Yeah, a hearty.
And a wink.
At least you tried.
You tried. And you didn't on the petite sirah.
Yeah, we're not putting this anywhere, are we?
You know, let's be honest. We're just going to keep the bottle because it looks kind of weird.
I know. Let's put it beside the cat.
No. It's going to go over there by that one.
Why?
I don't know.
No, nothing's over there. That's just waiting to go in the trash can.
It goes over by the TV.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
It needs to go with the Livingston. You know, we haven't broke out the Livingston yet.
You're going to drink all of that.
No, I think tonight you would drink all of it for taking my wine critique and then at the end of the show involving my wine critique in your score.
You just said a Nazi word, but that's okay. The next time you lose it at...
Mine...
Mine. We're going to do Wine Vault Trivia. Next
mine,
time.
Mine.
Superstar and the Triple B are going to be on. The loser has to drink 2 glasses of Livingston White Zinfandel.
That's too much. That's Harry Carey.
It's a punishment.
It's a punishment.
It is. Well, the other two drink a Stag's Leap Cabernet. So, folks.
Jesus.
Yeah, you better smarten up with your... I'm going to take the...
Well, you freaking...
I'm going to take the sommelier's exam.
Well,
how many Bordeaux grapes are there? 2? I think there's Pinot, the Shiraz, Chardonnay. Is that right? Oh, I'm going to have to study. That's... Yeah.
The pretest didn't go well for you, did it?
Oh, no. What Henry's telling me something. Pinot Noir is a Burgundy grape. He's 6 when he told me that. I don't think he's right. Is it? Chardonnay is a wine of Bordeaux. How'd I do? The lowest score ever on the 7 years exam. Oh. I'll study harder next time.
Jesus Christ. This is fucking stupid.
Hey! Fry Brothers here!
Jesus. They probably are sommeliers. That's the bad thing. I'm going to next time test for being a doctor. Yes. What? You mean the penis and the heart are 2 different places? Damn it! I fucked up a lot of those damn vasectomies. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy... And Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
And the Fry Brothers.
Yes, we're going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.